So our text for this morning's meditation is from our epistle reading we heard a few moments ago, 1 Timothy, these words, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience and as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our text, the Apostle Paul is using himself as an example. Paul is using himself as an example as he writes to the pastor of the congregation, the Christian congregation there in the city of Ephesus, and that is Timothy. Paul's point, the mercy of God. That is God's willingness not to treat us as we deserve to be treated. An example of God's mercy? Paul himself. Paul, who before being confronted by Jesus on the road to Damascus, actively persecuted all those he could get his hands on who believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Anointed One, the King of Israel, the Son of the living God, and the long-promised son of David and prophet of the Old Testament. It was at the feet of Paul, that the Jews who murdered Stephen, who caused Stephen's martyrdom, laid their cloaks at Paul's feet so they could free up their arms, their shoulders, their hands, so that they could hurl rocks at Stephen, killing him for just such a confession, the confession that Jesus is the Christ. We read about that incident in Acts chapter 6 and 7. No, Paul was there. Paul was there when Stephen was murdered, martyred for confessing Jesus to be the Christ, and Paul himself then set out to arrest any Jew he could find doing the same thing. And yet, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do with Paul? The resurrected Lord and ascended Lord Jesus the Christ met Paul and asked him why he was doing what he was doing. Why was Paul persecuting Jesus? Why was Paul doing that? How was Paul persecuting Jesus? Again, by seeking to harm those who had become one with Jesus, all those who believed in Jesus, the body of Christ, the church. Back to our text. Now, Paul makes note of this to Timothy to demonstrate the great mercy of God, who then appointed Paul to be his apostle to the Gentiles, although formerly Paul had been a blasphemer of Christ, his persecutor, his insolent opponent. True. Paul does point out to Timothy that Christ did this. Christ confronted Paul because Paul was acting out of ignorance. Paul was acting out of ignorance in his persecution of Christ. And that's the rub, isn't it? That is the rub for us today. Because when we read about the great conversion of the Apostle Paul, we think, wonderful, Paul. Got a pass from God because you didn't know what you were doing. But me whose parents had me baptized when I was a child, baptized into Christ. Me whose parents brought me to Sunday school and I learned all about Christ there. Me who took part in the Christmas program about the birth of Christ. Me who before a congregation of Christians confessed my faith in Christ on my confirmation day, confessing that I would suffer death even before I would ever fall away from Jesus Christ. Me who have not been to church now for years, have not done so because of the guilt and shame of things I did in my teens and 20s. Because of the ideas I learned from whatever source, followed for so long, taking me away from Christ. Because of the girl or the guy I met, I took up with, who drew me away from Christ. Me? Pastor, this text doesn't apply to me. And it doesn't apply to me because I did not act out of ignorance. I acted knowing that what I was doing was not what I should do. It was wrong, it was sinful, and I still feel guilty about it, but I did not act out of ignorance. So that's why I haven't come back to church. Paul got a pass because he didn't know. I did know. And now I'm stuck. I can't come back. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Simply is not. For Jesus the Christ, in our gospel reading, pay attention here. Jesus doesn't talk about sheep, wild sheep, that he collects from a hillside somewhere. For such sheep, wild sheep, they're not lost. They're not lost. Lost sheep are sheep that once were part of the flock, who had routinely followed the shepherd daily. And at one point or another, following this fancy or that, they wandered away from the flock, and wandering away from the flock, they became lost. It is, after all, only lost sheep who indeed can be found. Or in the case of the second parable in the gospel reading, it is a lost coin that is found. That is a coin that actually belonged to the woman before it was lost. So it is the sheep of the shepherd, the coin of the woman, which when found once again caused rejoicing. And that's the situation for every Christian who has fallen away from Christ. Those who have fallen away have not been abandoned, they have not been forgotten, they have not been written off by God, who throughout their childhood put so much time and effort into each and every one of them, through their parents and their Sunday school teachers and their godparents and their pastor. No, the person, whatever their age, who has fallen away from Christ is lost, simply lost. And they need to be found. They need to be found. I was sent for the lost sheep of Israel, is what Jesus told the Canaanite woman who came to him for help, and that was true. The children of Israel had collectively wandered away from God, who had redeemed them from their slavery to the Egyptians and established them in the promised land as the people of God, as his people. Centuries had passed. And the Israelites, the Jews, had wandered away, forgetting their God and the promised Messiah and the prophet and the son of David. We could say then that God became man in Jesus Christ primarily to save those who are lost, who have wandered away from him, and that's still true today. It's true for each and every Christian who has wandered away from Christ, including you and including me. What? Wander away from Christ? We're sitting right here in front of you, Pastor, and you're there behind the pulpit. We haven't wandered. But we do, don't we? We do in our sin daily. We wander a little here, we wander a little there, and it really doesn't take much to wander a bit further, pursuing this desire and that thought, until we find that we ourselves are lost in our sin. Suffering from guilt, shame, fear, embarrassment. The thought of returning to church to come face to face with the Word of God is so daunting, thinking that everyone in the building knows what we have done. But when we have, with fear and trembling, appeared once again, what have we heard? What have we heard? That we're damned? That we have no hope? That we had our chance and we blew it. No. What we have heard is that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful, God, who is just, will forgive our sins. And not only forgive our sins, but then cleanse us, cleanse our bodies and souls and minds from all of the unrighteousness in which we have participated. Why? Why does God do that? Because God is merciful. He's merciful to us, not treating us as we deserve, but pouring out the punishment for the sins that we commit already on his Son 2,000 years ago, already when Jesus suffered and died on the cross. That suffering, that dying, was our suffering and our dying, our punishment for the sins that we commit. Suffered by Jesus, suffered by the Messiah, suffered by the prophet, suffered by the Son of God, the King of Israel, so that daily when we wander, our sins can be and are forgiven. But not only daily, but any time we found ourselves having wandered away for weeks and months and even years from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Just so I tell you, we heard in the gospel reading, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that includes us. That includes us. Well, that's true, Pastor. What's the big deal? As long as I can always come back from my wandering, I'm not going to worry about it then. I'll just go and enjoy myself and do what I want, and then when I feel really, 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 really bad, return for a while and then head out again. Well, no. Because here we never really know what is going to happen when we, in fact, do wander. Judas, of course, is the primary example here, betraying Jesus like Peter denied Christ. But in his guilt and in his shame, Judas could not bring himself to return to Christ. And here as well, that tragic story of the policewoman in the news from a few weeks ago now. A woman with a wonderful career, right on the verge of retirement, unbelievably helping an accused killer to escape from prison, and when apprehended, killing herself. What must she have thought at that moment? What must she have thought? How stupid she had been? How she had thrown an entire life of service away? How she had abandoned friends and family? How crushing that realization at that moment, the guilt and shame must have been. It's never, never, ever good to wander away. To wander away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and become lost. Yes, it's true. He'll always look for us when we do. But why should he have to? Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.